money. If you want to keep busy until you're ready to open up the store here in town, you can take over the accounting for Davis Auto Works and here on the ranch. I hate dealing with that shit, so you'd be doing me a favor.
He had already successfully dashed my ire with that smile, but learning that he trusts me was something so important to him, his ranch and family business, a whole new emotion hits me, and hits hard. Clayton, I breathe.
Don't go giving me the breathy Claytons now, sweetness,
he warns, pressing against me and pulling me close by the hips so that I don't miss his erection. I really want to be bad with you right now, I shamelessly admit, feeling a rush of arousal curl low in my belly and wrap around the base of my spine.
Fuck, I love you,
he rumbles, bending enough to pull me into his arms. My legs go around his body, and my eyes all but cross when his hardness presses firmly against my aching core. I'd love to help take some work off your plate. I won't have you paying me, but I meant it when I said I wasn't an idle woman.
You keep giving me this greedy for my cock pussy, and I'm pretty sure you'll be the one paying me.
You're naughty, I giggle, speaking against his neck, kissing my way across his skin and feeling the heat of his words bathe me in intoxicating pleasure. I rock my hips, wishing my lounge pants weren't in the way.
I love it when you show me you're bad.
He hums, his fingers tightening on my bottom when I bite the thick column of his neck. Even with my pants and his jeans between us, my belly starts to flutter. My hips rock and roll quicker as his hold on me turns just a hair shy of painful. Thinking about his hands leaving bruises on my tender skin, oddly, only makes me hotter. His erection rubs me in the most toe-curling spot, and from that contact alone, I drop my head back, seeing the ceiling for just a second before my eyes roll back and close. Then I come with his name on my lips.
God fucking damn. That's the hottest thing I've ever seen, darling. You coming from just rubbing yourself against my cock? Fuck.
He groans, pulling me harder against his erection, pressing firmly against my sensitive sex and making me whimper.
My good girl doesn't need any help being bad anymore, does she? I'm about to love you so hard, you'll think I'm still inside you for days. So vividly that you'll take one step, feel what my heart does to you, and come from just the thought of me taking you alone.
Yes, I mule. Please.
Go get in our bed. I want you waiting for me, spread so wide, offering me that sweet pussy so I can eat my fucking breakfast in bed. I'm going to call Drew and let him know I'm taking a sick day.
I jump down from his hold, my whole body alive and craving his promises. I don't even spare him a glance before I'm sprinting through the house, tossing my clothes as I go and following his every command. Then, true to his words, he joins me a few minutes later and spends the day showing me just how delicious breakfast in bed can be. 19. Caroline. Make You Mine by High Valley.
I'm gonna kill her.
Lucy makes a snarling sound in her throat, backing up Leighton's threat without words. I keep my mouth shut, but grab Leighton's hand before she can leave the table at which Jana had told her, firmly and without room to argue, to sit down and not move from that spot, not even 5 minutes after walking into her bakery. I feel the wide-eyed stares of the people in the shop around us, but it oddly doesn't bother me. Proof that I really am becoming stronger. The only thing I care about in this moment is the nasty woman causing a scene inside my boyfriend's sister-in-law's bakery. His very, very pregnant sister-in-law's bakery. And that woman is going to find out just what the new me is capable of. You might think you've got him, Jess continues in a snarky tone. Hell, you might even keep his attention for a little while, but he'll be back. He always comes back. No woman stands a chance at changing that. You stupid bitch. Smartest thing he ever did was scrape you off, and he wasn't stupid enough to come back to you once since then. You can be damn sure he isn't going to do it now, Leighton snaps with fury in her words. We have a history, Jess shrieks, her beautiful face turning hideous and revealing her true nature. I stay silent and study Clayton's ex. Jess really is lovely, I'll give her that, but she's the kind of woman who thinks that beauty is the be-all and end-all, the type that only has their beauty going for them, and it really doesn't get them as far as they're convinced it does. Every time she throws more nasty words around, her shoulders start shaking with temper, her long blonde hair swinging. Her blue eyes are cold, calculating, and full of vicious evil. She's taller than me and bustier than me, with curves I'll never have. And I've never felt more beautiful. Your desperation is embarrassing, I finally say, low and steady, not backing down when that evil gaze homes in on me. I stand and step in front of Leighton when Jess moves forward. Her eyes track my movements like a predator hunting its prey. Before Clayton, I would have curled into myself and backed down instantly under the weight of her stare and impending confrontation. Now, though, I'm ready to take this horrible woman on, and there's no way in hell I'm letting her close enough to Leighton to have even a slight chance of harming her or the baby. How does it feel to have my sloppy seconds? She mocks. I roll my eyes. Bless your heart, honey. You really believe that, don't you? Insinuating a man as incredible as Clayton Davis could ever be sloppy seconds to any woman is pathetic and insulting. You might think what you had with my man is worthy of being some second-hand used goods kind of love, but that handsome cowboy has never loved another woman until me. You were just a way to pass the time until we found our way to each other. She moves closer, stepping on my sandal-covered feet with her boots and making a shooting pain jolt through my body when she rolls her weight onto my toes. I don't give her the pleasure of flinching, though. I hold myself strong and true, unwilling to give her the upper hand. I was pregnant with his baby, she hisses, thankfully low enough that the people eating farther away can't hear. Again, I don't react, not even when I hear Leighton gasp, as the secret Clayton kept from his family unfolds. I see Lucy start to stand in my peripheral vision, but I wave her off. I might not care what the gawkers around me think anymore, but I won't allow Jess to hurt Clayton by bringing something so painful to light. Moving my face closer, I sneer at her. Correction, bitch. You tricked him and then killed his baby. Even if you ever had a chance at experiencing the beauty of his love, you were dead to him when you showed him how nasty he already knew you were by doing that. I can tell she hadn't planned on me knowing the truth, but when her hand comes out and cracks against my cheek, I lose the upper hand. That is enough, I hear Jana bellow from behind the counter. I'm fine, Jana, I call in her direction, pressing my hand against my cheek and not looking away from Jess. I'm going to kill her, Leighton grumbles, repeating her threat angrily behind me, but thankfully she doesn't move. I feel her knees bouncing against the back of my legs, so I don't need to turn to make sure she's still sitting. I'm not going to have another pregnant woman go into labor because she got too excited at the crazy that keeps invading my life. You can have that hit, Jess. I'd be mad too if I lost someone as amazing as Clayton. But honey, you never did deserve him. I want you to really listen now. I'm going to marry that man. In fact, he can't wait to get his ring on my finger. I didn't have to trick him into wanting that. When the day comes that I'm blessed enough to share something as beautiful as a child we created with our love, I'll be thanking my lucky stars to have a gift that incredible. And we'll have that baby, Jess. It will be one that we both enjoy the hell out of working to get, without tricks and lies. We're going to raise a house full of babies on that ranch. Babies we would have tomorrow, we want that blessing built from our love that bad. Both of us. And sweetheart, I'm gonna keep loving Clayton so hard, he'll feel that long after we've both left this earth. You stupid bitch! Clay doesn't believe in marriage! she cackles, the sound evil and malevolent, either not hearing me or really believing, after years of not having him, that Clayton might be pining away for her. I press my hand against her breastbone, pushing her out of my face. After I get her a step away from me, I pull my phone from my back pocket and bring up Clayton's name. I hold up a finger in Jess's face and wiggle it a little before pointing down at my phone and tapping the speakerphone button. Ringing fills the shocked silence at the pie hole, and this time, I don't care that our audience is making an attempt to get a little closer and hear us better.
"Hey, darling,"
Clayton answers, his voice soft and happy. I picture him smiling that heart-pounding smile, and my own grows. "Honey," I answer lightly, not wanting him to hear just how tense I am, but I should have known he'd hear it anyway. My cowboy knows his woman.
"What's wrong, Lenny?"
"Nothing I can't handle. You have a second?" I hear him speak to someone. Hear him moving around a moment later before the click of a door shutting comes over the line.
"Always got a second for you, baby."
"I don't want to keep you. I know you've got the doc out there checking on things."
"It's fine, Lenny. Just finished with the last foal. I've got time before we move on to the fillies and colts."
"All right, honey." I pull the phone away and whisper to Jess, "Listen carefully." When her eyes flash, I pull the phone back up and address Clayton again. "You want to get married, handsome?"
"You free in an hour, sweetness?"
he answers immediately. "I'm a little tied up right now, but I think an hour could be doable."
"I'll meet you at the courthouse, then."
I laugh, feeling his love through the line wrapping me up in a cocoon of happiness. I don't even care if this didn't start out serious. I can't think of anything better than being his wife. I want this. As crazy fast as it is, I think I knew he was my forever the second he bought me a whiskey and promised to show me bad. Only if you promise to start working on giving me those babies we both want right after our date at the courthouse. The rumble of his deep chuckle comes through the line, and I find my smile growing even bigger until my cheeks burn from the sheer insanity of my grin.
"My girl's got an itch to be bad."
I hear Lucy and Leighton start snickering as heat crawls over my skin. I might be ready to ignore the busybodies and nosy old biddies, but I bet any woman would blush hearing Clayton Davis make an announcement like that to a room full of people. Difference is, I don't even care anymore. Let them know how much I love being a bad girl. "I like the way you think, honey," I say softly, my eyes on the red-faced woman a foot in front of me. "But I think I'll take loving you slow before you love me bad."
"I love you, Lenny,"
he drawls slowly in the erotic way that only Clayton can achieve with the deep, raspy tones of his voice. "I love you, Clayton."
"Lenny?"
he calls before I have a chance to say goodbye. "Yeah, honey?"
"You let Jess know if she ever comes near you again, not even my woman calling and giving me her sweetness will be enough to keep her safe from my anger."
The woman in question jerks her head and gapes at the phone in my hand. I'm not even surprised that he knew about her being here. There isn't anything that gets by him, especially when it comes to my well-being.
"There won't be a safe place left in Pine Oak for her if she pulls that shit again,"
he says, the fury in his words unmistakable. "You're on speaker, Clayton," I tell him, not taking my eyes off Jess.
"Good, baby. Maybe she'll heed my words this time and not twist them up in her head to be whatever crazy shit she's convinced herself of this time. You enjoy your time with the girls, but when you finish, you better get that sweet ass home so I can get my ring on your hand."
"What?" I gasp. His deep, low laughter is the only answer I get before he disconnects the call with his parting shot still ringing in my ears. He doesn't just shock the nasty woman who interrupted my girl time, though. He also floors me as well. I had been joking. I wanted to put his awful ex in her place, but the second the words left my mouth, it became something else. I can't help but feel a little anxious over what will happen when I go home. I don't know if he's serious, but I hope he is, even if it makes us both crazy. When you know, you know. but the part of me that's completely owned by him can't stop the rush of pure pleasure I get when I think he might have been planning for this if he really does have a ring. "Holy cow," Leighton gasps breathily.
"Oh my God!"
Lucy screams.
"I knew that sexy brooder would be a scorcher,"
Jana bellows from her position behind the pie displays.
"Just knew he'd give it real good."
With a pounding heart that has nothing to do with the showdown I just went through, I give Jess one last arch of my brow and let my whiskey-filled teacup boil over one more time. "Get out of my face, Jess. Get out of Leighton's place and learn something from today." I turn, my ponytail slapping her across the face, and return to my seat at the table I had been sitting at before she stormed into the pie hole and started throwing her crap all over the place. Clapping my hands, I look between Leighton and Lucy. "So, where were we?" 20. Caroline. No Matter Where You Are, by Us, the Duo. When I pull into the drive at the ranch, butterflies erupt in my gut. It's still early in the afternoon, so I know Clayton isn't going to be in the house, but that doesn't ease my nerves. But with the size of the Davis Ranch, finding him is going to be like hunting for a needle in a haystack. I pull my car into my spot next to Clayton's truck and lean back against the headrest, closing my eyes, thinking about what could be waiting for me. The steady breeze from my air conditioning cools my overheated skin in the process. As anxious as I feel, I'm not going to be shy and timid about it. Not anymore. Even if he was joking, I have no doubt it'll one day happen for us. I'd be lying, though, if I didn't admit that I'd be disappointed now that the thought is in my head. I want to be his. I want him to be mine. In the forever way that binds us legally and in the eyes of God. I want to spend the rest of my life with Clayton Davis while he gives me bad and gives me the power to find myself with the confidence his love provides. A loud pounding pulls me out of my thoughts with a scream. My knees slam against my steering column as I almost come out of my skin. My eyes snap open and my hand flies to my chest as I look out the driver's side window. My heart is still thundering in my ribcage, the lingering rush of panic from being caught off guard while I daydreamed still making it hard to focus. Clearly having had enough of my wide-eyed staring, Clayton thumps his cowboy hat brim as he studies me through the window. With his hat farther up on his head, I can see his face clearly without shadows. His brows are pulled tight in confusion, but a small smirk is curling his lips. He shakes his head a few times, that smirk turning into a full grin, before reaching out to pull open my door. I still don't move. I can't even blame it on the fact that he scared the crap out of me while I had been in La La Land. Nope. I don't move because he's looking at me in a way that has sucked the air out of my body and melted all my bones.
"Lenny, love,"
he rasps.
"You look cute as hell right now, but I need you to stop looking like shock's got you trapped and get out of the car so I can get you in my arms."
"You scared me," I whisper, shaking my head in the smallest movements. So much for being a brave girl. I was a fool to think I could handle a conversation of this magnitude without feeling a little trepidation.
"I noticed that, darling."
"You don't sound upset about it." I huff out a breath and cross my arms over my chest. Clayton's eyes move down, and I follow his gaze to see that my flowery tank is giving him one heck of a show. The shirt's front now pulled low with my arms being crossed. The tops of my breasts and some of my white lace bra peek out of the wide scoop neck. I roll my eyes when he still doesn't look away, uncrossing my arms and pulling the material up. A gentleman wouldn't have looked, Clayton.
"Sweetness, when it comes to you, there isn't anything gentlemanly about the thoughts that constantly keep me company."
"Well," I trail off, not having a good retort. "I didn't even show you much. You'd think I didn't keep you satisfied the way you're reacting to a small glimpse of my boobs. Next time I'm trying to throw a fit, you could at least not be all swoon-worthy and distracting."
"Lenny, All it would take for me to react and be ready to feel your heat around my cock is you walking into a room. You don't need to give me a tease, but the lace was a bonus.
You're incorrigible, I sigh with a smile, turning off my car and getting to my feet between the car and Clayton's body when he doesn't move to give me more space. His hands come up, fingers brushing against my cheeks. I rest mine at his waist and tip my head up to study my dark cowboy as he gazes at me. His eyes devour me, his hands not idle as he drags his fingertips down the column of my neck and down my bare arms until he reaches my elbows. Then he repeats his trail back up until he's holding me with his palms right under my jaw. He pushes his fingers lightly into my hair as best he can with it up in a ponytail, and his thumbs rub against my cheeks with slow glides that awaken every inch of me.
Hey,
he whispers in a bold tone that makes his already deep voice sound a few degrees deeper, velvet and sandpaper. Hey, I parrot back, sounding like I just ran a marathon. The way he's looking at me right now, this is something I've never seen from him. This, right here, is my dark cowboy giving me everything silently. Himself, his love, our future. All of it is shining bright down on us. The warm buzz that travels over my skin has nothing to do with the summer Texas sun high in the sky. My fingers flex, doing nothing more than move against his stone-like muscles as I make no attempt to gain purchase on his skin. My feet shuffle forward until I feel the toes of his cowboy boots. My hands go behind his back as I press my body against his and tip my head up. His back flexes under my touch, but other than that, he doesn't move an inch, just gazes down at me, holding me gently.
I got a lot I want to say about your call earlier, Caroline,
he tells me softly.
You've got my head all twisted up, though, and I can't figure out if now is the time to say even half of the shit that's rolling around without freaking you out. But you brought it up, and now I don't think I can sit on it any longer.
The rapid tattoo of my heart has my breathing speeding up, but with his bright green eyes showing me nothing but the enormity of his love, I feel it. The fearlessness that only Clayton brings out in me. It's time, I rush without hesitation. His face gets soft, and he bends slightly to press his lips lightly against mine. He doesn't deepen the kiss, just gives me a brief peck before lifting his head a degree as he keeps his eyes locked on mine.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. My breathy affirmation is met with his eyes flashing with pleasure. The corners of his mouth tipping up and the laugh lines around his eyes coming out. He adjusts his hold, his hands falling down a little until his palms are resting against either side of my neck.
You... God, Lenny,
he drones, shaking his head but still smiling.
First, you're okay?
Knowing instantly he's referring to the fact that I had words with his ex, I nod. I'm fine, honey.
When I got word that Jess was at the pie hole throwing her shit around, it wasn't pretty. I almost took off Drew's head when he reminded me I couldn't do a single thing with the doc looking over the horses and two buyers out from Montana. I didn't give one damn about my responsibilities here when you are and will always be more important than anything else. If you hadn't called me when you did, I would have been there in a second, not giving one fuck about how much money I'd lose walking away from those Montana folks.
I'm fine, I stress, hoping he understands that I mean it.
I know. I just can't seem to help myself when it comes to you, darling. The thought of you feeling anything other than happiness and love isn't something I enjoy too much.
I tighten my arms around his body and lean up on my toes to attempt to get closer than our height differences allow, wanting him to really see me clearly. Clayton Davis, you've given me nothing but happiness for over 4 months now, and I have no doubt you'll continue to do so for a long while. But there'll be times that even you can't control everything. Life might toss us some ugly, but I'm ready to take it on now if it does. Trust that I'm not going to break just because some of that ugly tries to creep around us.
Trusting you has nothing to do with me wanting to protect you and keep you safe from all of that, Lenny.
And that, honey, is what makes me feel like I'm strong enough to take on anything. Knowing that you care that much, that you'll be there to keep me from tripping, gives me the confidence to finally live free of fear and worry. There isn't a dadgum thing on this green earth that has the power to douse that. Not anymore.
You want the rest?
He asks, after holding my gaze for a few minutes, the weight of my words rolling over us. I nod, his thumbs rubbing against my jaw as I do. He releases his hold on my neck, drags his work-roughened hands down my skin until he's got my wrists in his hold, and unwraps my arms from around his body. Silently, he places my palms on his shoulders and leans down. The brim of his hat drags over the top of my head while he continues to get so close I can feel the heat of his lips against mine.
Hold on,
he rasps, confusing me. When he grabs me at the back of my thighs and lifts, I squeal out in shock before wrapping my arms around his neck and pressing my chest into his face in order to keep my balance. Miraculously, I manage to stop acting like a weirdo long enough to grab his hat as it's knocked off with the force of my freakout. Keeping my legs tight, I lift my chest out of his face and release the arm holding his hat to place it back on his head. When the hat blocks my view, I pull it back off and plop it on my own head. Mindlessly, I use my free hand to run my fingers through his thick, unruly hair. His body moves as he laughs softly, and my hand freezes in its third pass.
You look good in my hat, darling.
I shrug, the movement making his hat fall down over my forehead.
Though I should probably get you one that fits better,
he jokes. I lift my hand back off his shoulders to adjust the too large hat. Not wanting the anticipation to get thicker, I ignore his joke. Mentally, I take one last swing at the walls I had used to protect me for my whole life, and give the man holding me everything. I know he sees the enormity of my feelings written all over my face, when his whole body jolts and his eyes darken. You've got me now, handsome. Time to give me the rest. He starts walking, not looking away from me, and me not looking away from him. When he turns us from the house and toward the stables, I frown in confusion.
Trust me?
He questions, not missing a beat, knowing me well. Always, I answer emphatically. His chest expands with my answer like that one word was everything to him. He enters the stable that houses his personal horses. I don't ever make it my mission to come in here with all the black-eyed beasts, but I know enough about this place that when he stops at the last stall, chills break out. Onyx. I know very little about him, but I heard Clayton and Drew talking about him, and what I discovered broke my heart. He's a pure black Arabian horse that Clayton saved. I don't know all the details, but something along the lines of Onyx's old owners sold him for meat in exchange for cash. When a shipment of horses was stopped on its way to Canada, one of Clayton's old friends called him for help in placing the 15 horses on their way to slaughter. No one wanted Onyx, so Clayton loaded him up and brought him back to the ranch. That was about 3 months ago, and according to what I've overheard, Clayton spends every spare second when he isn't needed elsewhere working with Onyx. When I first came here, I remember seeing Onyx from a distance as he bucked and bucked, going wild in his desire to be left alone. And even though I feared him immensely, I felt drawn to the beast. I feel the horse's eyes on me as Clayton brings us farther in, and I shiver in his arms.
You doing all right, darling?
I nod, not trusting myself to verbally answer without fear in my voice.
I wouldn't bring you in here if I didn't think Onyx was ready to finally meet you.
I jerk my wide eyes from the black beast and look at Clayton. What?
Knew the second I saw Onyx, he was meant for you. He's a fighter. Hell, he'd fight the wind if he thought it was trying to get in his way. He's beyond loyal to those he lets close, though. You earn that from him, and he'll protect you from everything and anything, including that damn wind. I knew the second I found him that there was only one person a warrior like Onyx was built for.
Shocked by his words, I can't do anything but drink in my handsome man's serious expression. When I feel something nudge my back, I jump in Clayton's arms. His whole face grows soft and full of affection.
Told you.
He grunts, tipping his chin in the direction behind me. I turn, finding Onyx close to my back, his eyes focusing completely on me. When I don't move, he bumps me again with his nose and makes a show of blowing air through his nostrils. Clayton turns us so that his back is to Onyx, allowing me to study the beast without turning my neck so harshly. Something in the way the horse is looking at me sends a rightness-filled calm through me. I lift one hand and slowly move it toward Onyx. His tail swishes, and before I have a second to let myself fear him, he bumps the tip of his nose against my palm. He does this twice more before I find myself smiling at his antics and rubbing my hand against the slope of his head. If he were a cat, I imagine he'd be purring loudly.
He likes you,
Clayton says softly, kissing me against my neck.
I've been waiting for this moment, and darling, I had no doubts that you two would click instantly. You haven't been around horses enough to understand, but you've just become the most important person to him, and all you did was give him your trust. Onyx and me, we've got that in common. All it took was one touch from you, and you became our everything.
I keep caressing Onyx, but feel emotion grow into a thick ball in my throat. Honey, I breathe, not capable of more.
It sounds like a pile of shit, but I promise you, Lenny, I mean everything I just said.
He's just a horse that just wanted to be petted. Clayton laughs, his hilarity jolting my body.
Darling, in the time that Onyx has been here, he hasn't willingly let a soul touch him. He tolerates what's needed to cool him down after a ride, but that's usually done with a lot of bullshit from him. I can feel him itching to buck even me, someone he likes slightly more than tolerating, right off when I'm walking him.
I lift my hand from Onyx and frown at Clayton. You're basing all this on the fact that he nose-bumped me a few times?
No, I'm basing this on the fact that he came to you, asked for you, and even now is trying to get closer to you.
I turn to glance at the horse and see that Clayton wasn't lying. He's pushing himself as far into the opening in his stall door as he can get. When he realizes that isn't working, he becomes agitated. I reach out to press my hand against his nose again, gasping when he stills instantly and presses gently against my hand.
Trust me?
Clayton questions again. I look away from Onyx and nod, feeling a rightness click into place.
I'm going to let you go so I can get the horses ready. You okay with that?
My heart warms, knowing that he's kept me in his arms for the past 5 minutes, because he knew I was fearful of being this close to an animal I don't understand well enough to not fear. I press my lips to his before nodding.
Then let's get ready for our first ride together, darling. Those roads collided, and it's time we check out the new path before us.
Oh, wow. Reluctantly, I lower myself with his help until I'm standing and watching as Clayton gets Onyx and Dell, his horse, ready. When Clayton opens Onyx's stall, the horse walks to my side instantly and doesn't leave his spot next to me. His solid mass presses against me in a soothing way. I don't even realize I'm running my hands over his coat, loving the feeling of his powerful softness until he makes a sound that makes me think he's enjoying the attention. For the first time, I feel no fear being near one, let alone two horses, but I have a feeling that has a lot to do with Clayton and my trust in him, even if I feel the connection to Onyx that he was speaking about. When I look at Dell, a horse I know has the most even temperament and calm nature, I shiver and push my side into Onyx, who huffs out air. Maybe Onyx doesn't scare me as much because, him being solid black, those seemingly all-knowing eyes aren't so noticeable. Dell, though, is the opposite of Onyx. Dell is pure white. The way his eyes contrast against his coat makes them look even more arresting. I know, big guy, I tell Onyx softly, still looking at Dell. He creeps me out, too. Clayton chuckles. I ignore him and keep talking to the horse at my side. I should tell you, I don't know a lick about horses, but I promise to respect you. Just, I don't know, try not and go crazy and buck me off you. I don't want to break my back and have to be put in a home. This time, Clayton bursts out in a deep belly laugh. What?
God, I have no idea what I'd do without you in my life.
That's good. Maybe that means you won't ship me off to live in a home when I break my back and become a burden. Watching him tighten something on the saddle before turning, I drink him in. His full lips are smiling, the shadow of his facial hair along his jaw making him look rugged and sinful. But it's the brightness shining from his eyes that holds me captive.
There will never be a day that I won't have you in my arms when I wake, Caroline. I don't care what's thrown at us in this life. Me needing to care for you will never be something I look at as a burden. I'll spend every second of every day showing you that I deserve that honor.
He steps closer and lifts his hat off my head, placing it opening side up on a shelf near us.
Even if you get thrown from a horse and break your back, even then, I will love every second that I'm blessed with you in my life.
I feel my chin tremble, and I know if he keeps going, I'm going to burst into tears.
You ready to take a ride with me, darling?
I swallow thickly, my chin still fighting with my emotions, and nod. Clayton moves to help me mount Onyx. Knowing that he wouldn't be putting me on the back of this horse if he wasn't confident in the animal's abilities, eases some of my nerves. I listen intently as he continues to explain everything I need to know as Onyx waits patiently for me to climb onto his back.
Left foot in the stirrup and pull your body upward. Take your time and swing your other leg around. Just hug his back with your legs and slip your other foot into the stirrup. I'll hold his reins, but he's well trained, darling, and I suspect he'll be statue still while you get sorted.
He's not gonna just take off with me dangling, right? I'll give Clayton credit. If it weren't for the slight twitch of his lips, I wouldn't know how bad he wants to laugh at me.
Trust, darling.
Trust. Right. I do.
Then get your hot ass in the saddle, baby. We've got plans.
It takes me 2 tries to get myself up and into the saddle. True to Clayton's words, Onyx doesn't even flinch, letting me get myself positioned with my back straight and orienting myself to balance with my weight centered to my bottom like I was told. Clayton walks around and makes sure my legs are in the proper position, giving me a few tips as he does.
When we start riding, keep your toes up, ankles stable, and your heels pointing downward. You let Onyx lead.
What do I do with these? I ask, holding up the reins he just placed in my left hand.
That is how you steer. A gentle touch against Onyx's neck will signal the movements that you want. Move across his right side to go right, and left side to go left. Keep them in your left hand, right hand, on the saddle. We'll work on all of this another time, but even though I know he'll guide you without help, following me, I still want you to know what to do in the off chance that he decides to show off.
Okay, I gulp. Right for right, and left for left. Seems easy enough.
If something happens and you need him to move quick, grab the reins in both hands and gently pull or squeeze in the direction you need him to go. It's not often that it happens to our horses, but if you need to emergency steer him, that's how.
I nod, filing that information under, let's not think about what could happen that would require emergency steering, and give Clayton a nod. How do I get him to turn on? His lips twitch again.
Squeeze with your legs and let him know you're ready.
That's it? He nods.
Yeah, baby. That's all it takes.
You'll be close?
Always, Lenny. Always.
21. Clayton. I'm Gonna Love You by Jamie Lawson. She's a natural. You'd never know she's never ridden, or that before this she'd been afraid of every horse she encountered. Her smile is huge, carefree, and full of life. The only time I've ever seen her looking more beautiful is when she's under me and gasping out my name. We've been riding about 10 minutes, but 5 into it, she let go, and I quickly changed our course so I could watch her longer. It didn't take me long to get everything I needed in order. I texted Leighton shortly after I got off the phone with Caroline earlier and asked her to give me a heads up when Caroline was on her way home. Luckily, by then, I'd finished with the dock and successfully sold 8 horses to the buyers who had come down. Drew waved me off when I asked if he needed help, but the crooked grin on his face told me he was doing it more because he knew what I had planned and not because he didn't actually need help. The rest, I'm hoping like hell Maverick took care of. Otherwise, I'm going to be winging it and not giving Caroline a fraction of the romance she deserves. I can't remember a time I've ever cared about that, but I want to give her memories that have her feeling our love for the rest of our lives. Moving my hips, I lean back slightly. Dell instantly slows his trot. I wait, giving Onyx time to follow my lead, pleased as hell when he does so without hesitation. I hear Caroline gasp, but keep my eyes on Onyx while he follows Dell to the tie-off post. Dismounting, I loop Dell's reins around the post before taking Onyx's from Caroline and doing the same. Both horses stretch their necks to drink from the large watering basin as I move to her side and, with my hands on her hips, help her to her feet. Only when she's grounded do I look over her head. This spot has always been my favorite within all our acres. The peak where our land is the highest and the trees are few and far between. From here you can see part of Maverick's land to the west, where he has a few housing structures for the riders enrolled in his rodeo school. The other side is all Davis land. Nothing but green earth and blue skies. Untouched by any man and unblemished by any structure aside from the fence that used to keep cattle locked in. I used to come out here when I needed to get away. When my pops was drunk or out of his mind and fighting with anyone who would look at him. When Quinn's crying got too much to bear, knowing I couldn't fix what hurt her or bring the only person she wanted back. And when Maverick left town, I found myself out here more and more. Wouldn't do anything more than just look out across our land, focusing on nothing and wishing more than anything I could have protected them more. This was the only place on this ranch that felt like home to me, even after my pops passed away. Here, the only thing I had to worry about was myself. Still, after he passed and this place became all mine, I never felt like it was home unless I was out here. I pause, walking over to the table that Maverick set up for me, grabbing the bottle of red wine sitting atop it and filling the 2 glasses placed next to it. I felt like that my whole life, Lenny, never finding peace in my own house, on my own land, long enough to let me find my home, my sanctuary. It wasn't until a beautiful good girl, looking to be bad, sat down next to me in a dirty bar. There you were. Surrounded by drunks and bikers, looking like you stepped out of the pages of a magazine. You were pure temptation. That moment, before we even left Hazel's, I felt like something had snapped in place deep inside my chest. I found my sanctuary, my home, that night in your arms. I found it and almost lost it forever after just one night. You'll never know how thankful I am that I got my second chance. Knowing that we might never have found this if I would have let my stubborn pride keep me from finding you, that kills me. Her wide brown eyes stay locked on mine while I stop talking and hand her a glass of wine, then take a sip from my own glass. One day we're going to bring our children here, Lenny, and you're going to sit on a blanket between my legs while they run all over this damn hill. Laughter will echo across our land while we bask in what our love created. There'll never be a day that I don't love you. Not one. I wasn't planning on you, baby, and I know you weren't planning on me, but sometimes what we need to finally feel whole is what we least expect. You are that for me. Clayton, she whispers, tears filling her eyes. Just a second, darling, I interrupt, bending to kiss her nose before taking our glasses and placing them on the table next to the picnic basket. Clayton, she repeats softly. This time I hear the tears in her voice. Sweetness, one second. When I turn, seeing the worry in her eyes, I take her face between my hands gently. What is it, Lenny? She swallows, her whole head moving in my grasp as she does. Her mouth moves, opening and closing, but no words come. I relax my grip and bend to press our lips together. It doesn't take long before our kiss turns hungry and I regretfully pull my mouth from hers. You good? I ask, with a smile that grows when her eyes don't open for a few more pounding beats of my heart. Finally, her lashes flutter, and she looks at me in a daze. I just... I don't want you to think that I expect you to... I don't know. I mean, I was joking, wanting to let that nasty woman know she was wrong about you. But the second the words left my mouth, I'm freaking out here, Clayton. There really is no way to describe what it feels like when all the pieces of you that had been out of sorts your whole damn life start to click together. When all those years of twisting them up because you couldn't figure out what you were missing are unraveled in an instant when you find what your purpose in life truly is. For me, I knew my place was here on the ranch and that my protection and love went to my siblings and only them. Because of my parents, I knew allowing myself to find what Maverick and Quinn had would be something too risky. I had resigned myself to that life, only recently feeling like I was spiraling with my siblings no longer needing me. But then I met this woman, and those pieces started shifting until I knew without a doubt that my crazy, shy, wild-when-she-wants woman was my purpose, my reason for waking and my reason for breathing. The woman who made the risk of loving her unquestionably worth it, because with her love, that risk is really just a reward. I would have done this weeks ago, but it wasn't until today that I knew it was time. I take her hands in mine and wink when her eyes grow a little wider. Not looking away from her, I drop to my knee. Her hands jerk in my grasp as she watches me. I inhale deeply and start putting mental pictures of this moment away, so I'll never forget what it looks like to ask for forever with the person who holds your purpose. Caroline Lynn Michaels, I start, having to pause when a lump of emotion crawls up my throat before continuing. There will never be a time in my life, yours, and whatever waits for us beyond that, when my heart won't beat a little quicker because of what my love for you does to me. You came into my life and showed me how wrong I'd been about so many things without even trying. I never wanted more for myself than what I had running the ranch and seeing my family thrive. But then your love made me need things I hadn't ever allowed myself to think of before. Without you, there isn't anything here on this earth worth finding. Not a goal I can set for my life that would mean anything to achieve. My purpose, everything I could possibly achieve, it's all you now. You've turned my house into our home, put me back together when I hadn't even realized I'd been broken, and given me so much more in 4 months than some people will ever get in a whole lifetime. We burned our way through our own paths in order to find this road we're traveling on now together. I only hope I'm able to give you back a fraction of what you give me. I was made to love you, Caroline, and there isn't anything that would make me happier than you becoming my wife. Marry me, Linny. Marry me today, tomorrow, or the next day, and let me spend the rest of our lives proving that I deserve the honor of you. Oh, God, she cries, her whole body shaken with her soft sobbing. The tiniest sounds come from her while she struggles to compose herself. I release her right hand, keeping hold of the other, and reach into my pocket to pull out the ring I bought almost 4 months ago, right after our second dinner at the ranch. I knew then, just like I knew when I stupidly denied it to myself the night I met her, that she's my forever. When the sun catches the diamonds, Caroline stops trying to control herself and cries harder. I place the ring against the tip of her ring finger and wait, looking at the diamonds as they reflect thousands of colorful prisms in the sun, feeling my own eyes burn, knowing that this moment will forever be one of the greatest triumphs in my life. Her body shudders as she sucks in a choppy gasp, and I glance up just in time to see her looking down at our hands with her chin quivering and more wetness starting to pool in her eyes. This time, there are no sounds, just her tears running silently down her cheeks while she watches me intently. A lesser man would feel some dread over the prolonged silence from the woman he just asked to be his wife. But not me. I know what she'll say. I've known for months now that her answer would be yes, no matter when I asked. It's what drove me to the jeweler to begin with, needing this ring to be ready when the moment came. Confident as I was, I knew she'd be like this. She wouldn't be the woman I love if she didn't need to work through the overpowering emotions slamming into her. If I need to kneel here until the sun dips below the trees, I'll do it. I'll give her all the time in the world to give me, us, the beginning of everything. By the time we leave here tonight, I'll have my ring on her finger. Our bellies will be full with the food waiting for us, and there'll be grass stains on our clothes from when I love my future wife slow and soft under the blue skies, endless green pastures, in the spot that was my only salvation for 35 years. Used to be, not now. Not with the love of a damn good woman showing me the way. Her hand pushes forward in my hold with a sharp jerk, the movement causing the ring to slide down to the middle of her finger, stopping at her knuckle. I'm unable to look away from the big round stone surrounded by tons of smaller diamonds, what it symbolizes hitting me with a maelstrom of emotions. None of them bad, either. No panic, like I had felt when this was almost forced on me by my ex. No fear when I think about my parents' marriage. Nothing but excitement for what my future with Caroline holds. I swallow thickly before glancing back up at her. Her silent tears are still cascading down her tanned cheeks, but she's giving me a huge, blindingly happy, toothy smile. Even though I knew it in my gut, seeing how happy she is and knowing those tears are because she's that happy, I feel my own expression break as my joy is given free rein. "Yes," she finally answers in a small whisper so soft that if there had been some wind it would have carried her word away with it before it reached my ears. Awe present in her hushed tone, her stare is locked on her hands as I slide the ring the rest of the way down her slim finger. She continues to look down, only giving me her eyes when I lift her hand and press a kiss against the ring. I hold my lips there, watching her chest shake as she pulls in rapid breaths. It's the pure, unmasked joy lighting every inch of her that has me silently vowing I'll do everything in my power to make sure she never loses that happiness while we love each other for the rest of our lives. I climb to my feet, bending down to dust the dirt off my knee, before stretching to my full height. Caroline looks so tiny standing before me, holding her hand out in front of her face as she admires the ring. "You look good wearing my diamonds, Lenny love." My voice must have broken the spell she had been hooked in, because her head snaps up and she jumps. When our gazes collide, I see she hadn't really stopped the crying like I thought. "You're killing me with the tears, darling." "I'm so happy, Clayton Davis." Her whole body shakes as she gets choked up. I can't help it when my chest puffs slightly. I feel damn good about being the reason she's feeling this way, even if it's coming with some tears. "How about you get in my arms with your mouth on mine and show me just how happy you are?" She doesn't hesitate. She jumps, and her arms go around my neck at the same time her legs circle my hips. My hands instantly go to her sweet ass, pulling her closer and keeping her right where I want her. The heat of her pussy is unmistakable against my hard cock, even with the layers keeping us apart completely. She peppers my face with kisses, her soft lips moving frantically as she covers me from forehead to jaw. When she lifts her head, after pressing one last kiss to the side of my jaw, I expect her to finally give me her mouth. Instead, she tips her head back and shouts up to the sun and the bright blue sky, her back arched, with her tits right in front of my face, while holding on with her hands hooked together behind my neck. Her body bounces, excitement flowing, and I groan when I feel that movement milk some pre-cum from my needy cock. "My dark cowboy is gonna be my husband," Caroline shouts. Her whole body quivers with excitement as she looks back at me. "You're gonna be my husband, Clayton," she tells me, her lips curled in a beautiful, happy smile. "You're gonna be my wife." "Oh my God!" She starts bouncing, and I almost fall to my knees as pleasure zaps up my spine. My fingers clench, grabbing her ass cheeks and pushing her roughly against my cock, stilling her movements instantly and groaning loudly. I hiss when she manages to wiggle just a fraction against me. "Keep that up, sweetness, and I'm gonna strip us down and forget about our dinner so I can fuck my love into you with the sun shining down on us." She moans, her cheeks turning a light shade of pink. "You want that, baby?" Her thighs clamp tighter around my hips, and her fingers dig into my shoulders. The bite of pain just makes me crave her more. "Lenny, love, you want me to feed you or eat you?"
"Oh, God," she whimpers.
"Give me the words, darling. Tell me what you want. I'll give you the world, but you gotta use the words to ask for it."
"You,"
she breathes heavily.
"I just want you."
My chest vibrates with the hungry sound of approval that bursts free when I lean my head toward hers and she moves to meet me halfway. Our mouths are already opening before our lips press together. Her tongue glides against mine in a slow caress. Her hands drag up my neck as we both give everything we have. Her moans meet mine as our tongues dance. Our bodies become frantic as she rolls her hips and I flex my ass to push my length harder against her, needing, craving more. I have to rip my mouth from hers, unable to wait any longer to feel her heat hugging me tightly. Caroline starts to kiss and lick down my neck, and that sound fills my chest again, a mix between a groan and a growl that her intoxicating body brings out in me. I see the thick flannel blanket Maverick placed under the small two-person wooden table. The huge swath of red and black material gives me all the space I need. As much as I hate to say it, you're gonna have to get down. No, honey, she hums, licking me from my collarbone to my ear before taking a tiny bite with her teeth, nipping me and making me falter as the shock of it creates waves of pleasure through my body. Linny, I grunt when she sucks the flesh she just nipped into her mouth. Get down and get naked now, I hoarsely command, quickly losing the battle with my control. I can already feel my balls pulling tight, ready to explode and not giving one shit that the only place I want to pour myself into is the woman drunk with arousal and high off happiness. I don't waste a second seeing if she's heeding my demand. My fingers curl in my shirt and I give it a tug. Buttons scatter all around as I pull it and my undershirt off and reach for my belt. When I see Caroline moving just as frantically as I am, not even hesitating to strip out here in the open, I clench my jaw and pray for control. Her small, perfect handful tits are free and jiggling slightly against her chest as she wiggles her jeans down, kicking them in the direction of her boots and hooking her thumbs into her white lace thong. Her hands freeze, though, and I lick my lips before looking up at her. You're too dressed, she pants, rubbing her thighs together. Knowing she's desperate for me to ease her ache between her legs sends an animalistic need bursting through me. I tear my clothes off wildly and so fast that when I'm taking the first few steps separating us, she's still standing there with her thumbs hooked in her underwear. Her breath rushes from her lungs when my body collides with hers, and I take her mouth again. My hands turn her head as I deepen our kiss and moan in her mouth when her soft belly presses against my cock. It doesn't take much before I know I'm seconds from coming, and I'm not going to do that shit on her stomach. Shifting our bodies, I grab her hips and lift her. Her legs hook behind my ass and she slams her center against my cock. Her wet heat slides against my shaft as she rocks her lips and mules a knee-weakening moan. Our bodies move without prompting until I'm on my back, her knees at my hips, and her hand circling as much of my cock as she can while lining the tip up with her entrance. She pauses, and my eyes practically cross when her heat kisses the tip of my cock. When she doesn't move past that, I look up at her face. Fuck me, I breathe. The sun, high in the sky, casts a glow around her naked body. The brilliance of the bright light hitting her back makes it seem like little beams are shooting around her. She looks like a fucking angel. I have no idea what I did to earn the love of this woman, but I'll never take it for granted. Get on my cock, Linny, and ride me. Show me how much you love me and take what you need.
Oh, Clayton,
she gasps, her chest heaving with her rapid breaths. My hands move until my thumb is pressing and rolling against her clit as the other goes to her tit. She inhales with a hiss, her eyes slits as pleasure takes hold of her. I pinch her again a little harder before soothing the tight bud with my thumb. Take me. Give me you while I give you me. Show me what having my ring on your hand makes you feel. She drops down, impaling herself on every inch of me. Her eyes squeeze shut and her mouth drops open. She's only taken all of me at one go once, and that was after I had fucked her with my mouth until she came over and over. Even as wet as she had been after that, she still couldn't take all of me. But with the lips of her sex pressed against my pelvis, she greedily takes every inch, her hands curling against my abs as she begins to fuck my cock. Pulling herself up and dropping back down again, she rakes her nails over my skin in a burning path, I keep thumbing her clit, her walls fluttering against my cock, milking me. I'm not gonna last, baby, I groan when I feel her wetness on my balls and her pussy start to tighten to the point of pain before sending me rolling into blinding pleasure. Fucking hell, I moan, taking her hips and thrusting up as she starts to scream out my name, clamping down on me with her wet heat. I pull